Well, the last of the series of scriptures that we're looking at this morning are scriptures that have to do with helping others. And they are two from Proverbs and one from the New Testament from James. Proverbs 19:17, those who are gracious to the poor lend to the Lord, and the Lord will fully repay them. Proverbs 22:9 says, happy are generous people because they give some of their food to the poor. And finally, James chapter 1, verse 27 says this, true devotion, the kind that is pure and faultless before God the Father, is this, to care for orphans and widows in their difficulties and to keep the world from contaminating us. These two are the word of God for the people of God. Well, I'm going to guess that when you heard those three different series of scriptures, that there were some you liked better than others. It depends a little bit on the day and the time, but most of us find ourselves at one point or another looking at a passage of scripture and saying, yeah, that's the right one. And so it might have been that, you know, everybody needs to work and everybody needs to do something. And it might be everybody needs to help other people and give them something. And it might be God has helped us whether we deserved it or not. And there's some amazing grace in that. And that's really the heart of the scriptures for today and the sermon for today, the image of half-truths. Because people very often say that God helps those who help themselves. And in fact, in Adam Hamilton's DVD about this, he changes that a little bit and says, God only helps those who help themselves. And I'm going to guess that you've heard that before. Part of the reason I'm going to guess that is Hamilton himself shows in his video a segment of The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, where, you know, he does that thing that it's like where he goes out on the street and he asks people something, and, you know, then everyone in the whole world laughs at what they said because it's wrong sometimes. So one of the things he went out onto the street a few years ago and asked people were, can you name one of the Ten Commandments? And surprisingly enough, this half-truth, God helps those who help themselves, was named by a bunch of people as something that's not just in the Bible, but one of the Ten Commandments. It isn't. It's not one of the Ten Commandments. In fact, when we studied this on Wednesday evenings, we went through this book and we were looking at it, and we were tasked with writing down the Ten Commandments. In point of fact, even those of us who are in church all the time have to stop and think sometimes about what are all 10 of them. And because there are some we think more about more often and others that we do that less for. Well, it's like that with everything. And somehow people imagine that they know what's in the Bible. And sometimes if you ask them, well, where would that be? They can't find it. But part of the reason they maybe can't find it is that it's not in there. So again, this is about how do we sort out what Scripture actually says. So one of the ways that Hamilton gets around that and talks about it is to imagine people planning something. The image he uses is if you were going to go get a job, how would you go about that? And, you know, you might think, well, I would write up a resume, I would do a cover letter, I would do some research online about the place that I wanted to interview, I would do this thing and this thing and this thing to figure out what I need to do ahead of time. And then, you know, maybe somebody else would say, well, I'd pray about it. And, you know, if I prayed about it and I was supposed to have that job, I would have that job. And yet he says, you know, most of us would say preparation is a good thing and that doing some stuff on our own is part of what the Bible really does teach, that there are some times that we do need to do stuff. The passage that Dan read from 2 Thessalonians is an example of some folk who got it a little bit wrong. The church there was just in a kind of a situation of waiting because a whole bunch of people who had come and begun preaching and teaching there were saying that the world was going to end really soon. Okay, and if the world's going to end really soon, you see what happens sometimes with cults and people who think that. They give up everything they've got, and they go on a mountaintop somewhere, and they're waiting for the world to end. Well, these folk, you know, they lived in a different time than ours, but they were doing something similar. They were stopping doing anything besides debating when the Lord was going to come again, because they were just sure it was going to happen really soon. And Paul, who's a good pastor, said, wait a minute, that is actually not what you should be doing. You should not be running around just disputing stuff and causing trouble for other people. It would be a really good idea if you would go out and do something and not be letting the few people who still are working in this community and are not debating that to carry the whole weight. And so, again, you can see that there's a reason why that's in there. But then there's these other passages of Scripture, too. Like, think about the story of Ruth in the Bible. Why is it that the story of Ruth is touching? Well, there's lots of reasons. Her faithfulness to her mother-in-law, her coming back to be among the Israelites. But then there's also this story about how Boaz, who has these big fields, is instructed and knows, because the Hebrew Bible says that you shouldn't take all the grain out of your field. You're supposed to leave some for those who don't have anything so that they can come along behind and they can gather stuff up. And that's part of what happens in this story too. So again, Scripture speaks about that too, that if you have something, it's a really important thing to help others, because everything we have ultimately comes from God, doesn't it? Everything we have. And so when we stop and think it through that way, we become people who are moved by generosity, because we recognize that part of the reason I'm here, part of the reason you're here, that very air we breathe, We didn't make that. We didn't own that. We didn't earn that. Those things are graces from God. And as we begin to recognize that, then it changes our way of treating other people in this world. We begin to look at people differently. We begin to see them differently. And as we see them as who they are, and one of the ways we define that is they're a child of God, whether they know it yet or not, they are a child of God. That changes the way that we live in this world and the way we treat people. So at conference this year, we were in the second part of a program that is about seeing all the people who are around and engaging our community in new ways. One of the things that the See All the People campaign says is the problem for our churches and for our communities is not a lack of people. The problem is our inability to see and to reach them. Statistically, even in West Virginia, here where we think of ourselves as part of that sort of Bible Belt and place where a lot of people are faithful, statistics show that only about 20% of people regularly attend church. 80% do not. And so that becomes a vast calling for us. That's why we began with bringing in the sheaves. There's harvest out there. There are people who need to know that God loves them, and we are not reaching them in all the ways that we could. So we're going to show you now something as part of a call to action. This is a video that is based on the teaching at annual conference. We want to think about the barriers that keep us from loving everybody. And then I have a few things to say after we see this video, but could we show that now?
It happens in every church. It happens when the business of doing ministry becomes the ministry. It's when we believe the color of the carpet, the strength of our audiovisual system, demographics, events, programs, and activities become more important than our own spiritual growth and development, become more important than engaging people who are currently outside the church. Greetings. I'm Junius Dotson, General Secretary of Discipleship Ministries. I'm here on the set of our latest short film called Let Me Show You Something. It's the second of our discussion starters connected to see all the people. Well, I call it intentional discipleship. And the key is developing a discipleship pathway, a process, or system that changes the fundamental way you do church. There are several models or systems in the book called A Guide to Invitational Discipleship, but it would be a mistake to just take one of these models and superficially add it to your church without starting with the why, and then addressing the culture of your church. What I'm suggesting is that just simply adding a model won't do. What I'm suggesting is that changing the culture is the strategy. Dharmesh Shah, a co-founder of HubSpot, said that in our early years, we didn't talk about culture. We hadn't documented it at all. We just built a business that we wanted to work in, and that was great. But the real return on culture happened when we started getting more deliberate about it, by writing it down, by debating it, by taking it apart, polishing the pieces, and putting it back together, iterating again and again. Culture is the strategy. Developing an intentional discipleship system to fundamentally change the culture of the local church, from fixing and tinkering to relationship and discipleship. And when we do this, we do it not to simply fill our pews, but to live into the great commandment, to love God with all your heart, mind, spirit, and soul, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself, and to live into the great commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. I believe the results will be passionate followers of Christ who are committed to not only their own spiritual growth, but also helping others discover and follow Jesus. The result, the byproduct, the fruit are vital, vibrant, healthy congregations. So here's a question. How do you change the culture of your church to stay connected to its why and to remain relentlessly focused on making disciples of Jesus Christ? Let me offer just quick two principles. Number one, keep the end in mind. The essence of leadership is knowing the direction in which you desire to travel and being able to influence the head, hands, and heart of others to follow you there. The question we're trying to answer is, what is our intentional plan of discipleship? What is our process? What is our pathway? How do people grow and progress spiritually in this body of believers? When members don't know what to do, they do nothing. Are we intentional about helping people develop a godly vision for their lives? Are we intentional about helping people experience the nature of holistic salvation? So keep the end in mind. Number two, take a risk. Experience something. Try new ways to engage your community immediately. Please don't take a year to design your intentional process of discipleship. Please don't adopt a "we have to get ourselves right" mentality before we can reach out to others, because quite frankly, that won't happen until Jesus comes back. We have to build this bridge and cross it at the same time. The results may surprise you. I want to offer this word of encouragement. God, by his mighty power at work within us, is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. Thanks for being a part of See All the People. Go to seeallthepeople.org to download the free book and learn more about how to be a part of this important movement. Thank you.
So we had some training at conference this year, but the things that we talked about are not new, because John Wesley, almost 275 years ago, said pretty much the same thing. The quote is really small up there, but let me share it with you out loud so you can hear. John Wesley wrote this in a 1743 tract called The Character of a Methodist. He said, "While he thus always exercises his love to God by praying without ceasing, rejoicing evermore, and in everything giving thanks, this commandment is written in his heart, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And he accordingly loves his neighbor as himself. He loves every man in his own soul. His heart is full of love to all mankind, to every child of the Father of the spirits of all flesh. That man is not personally known to him, is no bar to his love. Nor that he is known to be such as he approves not, that he repays hatred for goodwill. For he loves his enemy, yea, and the enemies of God, the evil and the unthankful. And if it be not in his power to do good to them who hate him, yet he ceases not to pray for them, though they continue to spurn his love and despitefully use and persecute him. In other words, we are called to love everybody. We are called to love the people we like, and we're called to love the people we don't like. We're called to love the ones that we think love God, and also the ones that we're pretty sure don't love God. And we are called to do that because it is a gift, a grace from God who has given to us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That is what Scripture says. The imagery here, I found a summary also in this book that I really like, and it says this: if you want to build a ship, don't drum up the men and women to gather wood and divide the work and give orders. Instead, teach them to yearn for the vast and endless sea. Do you yearn for that beautiful, deep, powerful, living water? Do you yearn for it for yourself? Do you yearn for it for others? That's really what we want to talk about. The half-truth was God helps those who help themselves, and that there is some truth to that. But it's a half-truth because God also calls us to help others when they can't help themselves. And God helped us when we didn't even know how much help we needed. And so we are called to do the same and to celebrate and to look and to see how God is calling us to live faithfully in this world. And now Pastor Allen's going to share some things from the Reaching New People team and the See All the People program, some ways that you could perhaps help in the weeks to come.
Indeed. The Reaching New People team is kind of like the worker in the vineyard who got up early. They have been meeting together for over a year, discerning ways that we can be engaged in the community and have some excellent opportunities for us starting next week, as a matter of fact. So what we are looking to do, of course, as Pastor Terry said, and as the videos say, is to see all the people and to look in our community, in our neighborhood, to see who these people are, the 80% of people who have no church affiliation. So one of the ways we're going to try to do that is to get out of our building and go into our neighborhood, literally. We're going to start next week, July 8th, Sunday at 2 o'clock, by going to Ritter Park with a cooler full of popsicles. Now, we have in our basement at this very moment 1,000 popsicles, which we will take with us to distribute at the playground at Ritter Park. And we need your help to come with us. And we're going to use that also as an opportunity to invite kids and families to our vacation Bible school and to our church picnic, which I'll talk about in just a moment. Another opportunity, which was brought up at annual conference, are prayer walks. We don't have a specific date, but by the end of this month, we will be engaging in prayer walks. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to walk physically. There's multiple ways to do it. One day we may get in the van and drive the neighborhood. Another day we may just walk down by City Mission in that area. And it doesn't also mean knocking on doors, because a lot of people don't enjoy that. It may just mean stopping in the street and praying at a house. And if we see people, engaging with them there. Now, you might say, how will they know that we are from here? Now, if they know we are Christians by our love, but they will know that we're from this congregation by our T-shirts, which you will find an order form for out in the hallway in the narthex and on the back of your bulletin. And we do need to get these ordered by July 11th. And every size is available, youth sizes, adult sizes, up to 3XL. So we do hope that you will consider getting these so that people will see that we're from this faith community and recognize us as being part of their community. Now, I mentioned Vacation Bible School. That's also an outreach ministry. It's not just for our congregation. It's designed to invite our neighbors to come and hear and see and experience relationship with us as we teach about God and Christ's love for us. The Vacation Bible School itself is July 25th through 27th, 5:30 to 7 here. But as I mentioned, we're going to be spreading the word about that with our popsicles in the park, not only on July 8th, but also July 22nd at 2 p.m. We'll be at the park. We're also going to share that word by having a banner, which we're going to be putting outside. And we want you to share that word. Again, we have these cards already in the narthex that talk about the day and the time. And if you know people, we encourage you to get their information so we can contact them with more information about it. Now, finally, the big event that we experienced at annual conference was a community-wide barbecue, picnic on Friday evening. And we're going to have something similar. We always have had our church picnic in August, and we're going to have it, of course, this year on August 19th. But this is not an opportunity just to say, you know, come hear us preach and we'll give you a sandwich. It's going to be kind of the opposite. Come get a sandwich and we'll share a hot dog and we'll share the word with you. We want to make this a party for the community. We want to make this about building relationships. Of course, there will be a church service as part of it, and we'll do that in the morning. But we hope to be there at least until 2 p.m. And we're looking at the possibilities of getting inflatables for kids. We're going to have live music to make our presence there at the new shelter at the park known. And we really also need to work on ourselves, how we're going to talk to people as they come, how we can share the hope of Christ that we have, and basically just build relationships. So that's going to be an excellent opportunity for us on August 19th to invite people for worship, but also for the picnic. And there may be people who just want to come with the picnic, and we're great with that. We want to share that peace and that love with them through however way we can make a relationship with them. So those are some opportunities. We'll have more information on Facebook. We'll have posters and banners out in our hallway. If you're on the email list, I'm sure Kim will be sending the information out about these things. But this is just the beginning. As Junius said, we have to kind of build this bridge as we cross it. And I think thanks to reaching new people, have a great start, a great foundation to build from. And we just need your prayers, and we just need your help. So be in prayer for that. And now, as disciples,